Welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we've opened the phone lines for you. 1-800-677-9377. That's the number, 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to call or keep listening to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. If you have a Bible question, including questions on the book of Revelation, or if you have a personal issue you'd like to discuss, call right now. 1-800-677-9377. The number toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. This, of course, day 11 of our focus on the book of Revelation, and here to get us started is my friend Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're in Revelation chapter 10 today. This is a chapter that gives a sense of an intermission. You know, we've had the seven seals broken. We've seen what those judgments are. Now we've heard the six trumpets blow, and we've seen what those judgments are. And, you know, trumpets 5 and 6 were quite brutal.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff that's going to happen. And now we're taking a little interlude. So God knows kind of a rhythm that is necessary for us to really take in what this book is communicating. And so he gives us a breather, so to speak, here in chapter 10, and that carries through all the way to the middle of chapter 11. And so John sees a mighty angel coming down from heaven, surrounded by a cloud. It has a rainbow over his head. His face shines like the sun, and his feet were pillars like fire.
What a sight.
Oh, my goodness. Quite a sight indeed. And in his hand was a small scroll. So something else is about to be revealed as far as God's plan is concerned. And this angel has his foot on the sea and his foot on the land. And he gives a great shout like the roar of a lion. And when he shouted, the seven thunders answered. And we think that's the voice of God, you know. And we see different passages of Scripture. One particular psalm really describes the voice of God and the power that's within it, and uses thunder as a descriptor of the voice of God. But this, when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, keep secret what the seven thunders said, and do not write it down. Now, we want to speculate. I mean, that piques our curiosity. We want to know what were they about to say? What were they to tell us? Well, John was about to write it down, and then he said, no, you can't write that down. Seal it up. So we just need to leave it there. That's going to remain a mystery. But as we move forward into the chapter, we see that soon the mystery of God will be accomplished. This sounding of the seventh trumpet will bring all things to a close as far as this old world order is concerned, and it will be the beginning of the new world order when, you know, the new Jerusalem will come down from heaven and we will take up our rightful place right there, and we will be the kingdom of God on this earth. That's going to happen, and the seventh trumpet is the sound of all of that taking place. So all of the mysteries of God will be completed. And the Word of God is filled with mysteries. The Jews never believed that the Gentiles would be fellow partakers of God's gift of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm, right.
That was a mystery. But God revealed that to the Apostle Paul, and so he wrote that mystery to us in Colossians 1. This is the mystery, Christ in you, your hope of glory. That's to Jew and Gentile alike. We see other mysteries that are revealed to us. But at the end, all of the mysteries of God will be completed.
Yeah.
And this chapter closes with John being told to take the little scroll, to eat it. And when he does, it's going to taste sweet in the mouth, but it will turn sour in the stomach. This final trumpet is a bittersweet moment. It's sweet for those who know Christ. It's bitter for those who do not know Christ. And when we see that judgment against the ungodly, there's no pleasure in that. There's no rejoicing in that. There's no shouting hallelujah with that. Death is awful. And eternal separation from God is awful. So there's going to be a bitterness to that moment. But that's just reality. God has offered life in Jesus, and all who receive him enter into that new life and will be eternally saved. That is the good news of the gospel. Those who refuse, those who reject, those who continue to worship the ways of this world, they're going to be eternally separated from God. What does that tell us? Let's do everything that we can to connect people to the love of Christ, yes, to make that offer of life available to anyone, to everyone on this planet. Give them the opportunity to receive and come to know Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Share that basic gospel with everyone we can. Well, this is Basic Gospel, of course. Open lines 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open. If you have a question on the book of Revelation, something you've heard in the opening of this broadcast, or something else that might be troubling to you, or you have a particular question about a Bible passage, why, give us a call, friends. That's why we're here live on the air, so that you can post those questions and we can take you into the Word of God. 1-800-677-9377. Lines open right now.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Wanted to mention this. October is Pastors Appreciation Month. Mm-hmm. I've said many times that I think those who serve as pastors, you're carrying out one of the toughest jobs on the planet. It is a very difficult role to fulfill. Mm-hmm. But many men and women, you know, today are trying to serve in that role to be shepherds, and they need encouragement.
Yeah.
They need folks to come up alongside of them, put their arms around them and say, we appreciate what you're doing. It's making a difference. So if you're involved in a church, if you are growing in that church, if you love being a part of that group of believers, go to the pastor and tell him how much you appreciate him.
You bet.
Oh, that would be such a blessing to that pastor and such an encouragement. Every day, I forget what the number is, but it is lots and lots of pastors are leaving the pastorate.
Yeah.
They've just burned themselves out. They've just come to a point and said, I can't do this anymore. Well, you can imagine what an encouraging word would mean to somebody that is almost at that point.
Right.
It might be the very thing that turns them around, that keeps them going, that keeps him proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and shepherding those to the great shepherd. So encourage your pastor this month. Let him know how much you truly appreciate him.
Yes, indeed. A great idea, Bob. 1-800-677-9377. Lots of open lines. Plenty of time on the clock. Want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher here. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. Really join us, though, by giving us a call right now. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Mike in Fresno. Hi, Mike.
Hi, you guys. God bless you.
And to you as well.
Thank you. I had a quick question on Revelation. I heard a pastor preach the other day. He shared that there could be a short time between the rapture and the time the Antichrist is revealed. And I believe in a pre-trib rapture. We've always thought of that 7 years as we're going to be in heaven. But could it be that there'd be a short interval between that? I was wondering, is there any place in the Bible that talks about just 7 years at the wedding supper of the Lamb? And also, I wanted to ask you, the gospel is going to be preached during the trip. And I think, I don't know where the scripture is, it says the gospel must be preached in all the world, then the end will come. Well, if the gospel is preached during the tribulation, would that include the gospel being preached during that time?
Well, Mike, I believe that God is always interested in people coming to know him. Yesterday we looked at chapter 9 of Revelation, and it's interesting how that particular chapter ends. We've heard the fifth trumpet and the sixth trumpet. and they reveal incredible judgments that are come upon, that will come upon those who do not know God, who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. At the end it says, but with these judgments, the people who did not die in these plagues still refuse to repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. God wants them to turn to Him. That's one of the purposes, to reveal to them what lies up ahead so that they can change, so that they can repent, that they can turn away from their unbelief and turn to God. So even with these judgments, as intense as they will be, there's still this underlying reach of God that says, turn, come unto me. But here's the deal. It says they continued to worship demons and idols made of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their witchcraft or their sexual immorality or their thefts. So God always, even up to the very end, to that final judgment, to those alive on the earth, He's saying, there's opportunity for you to repent. There's opportunity for you to turn from your evil ways and receive Christ. That's always there up until the end. But the sadness is that most of them will continue along their path toward destruction, yeah, and eternal separation from God.
It's a day of salvation. There's no time like today.
That's absolutely. I love that passage in Hebrews. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. But why? Because today is your day. God is reaching out to you. It's the day of His visitation to shower you with His grace, His love, and His mercy. If you're hearing His voice, let today be the day of your salvation. Receive the life that is available in Him.
Well, praise God. We serve a loving God. I just don't see why anyone would reject Him at all.
I don't either, other than the fact that John wrote this in John chapter 3, light came into the world, but the world loved darkness more. That's just the nature of the world. That's the nature of the world system. That's the nature of sin. It makes us love darkness more than it makes us want to go into the light. That's why it takes the power of God to break through and give us hearts that will respond to Him by faith.
Well, pastors, keep on shining your light. That's what we'll try to do until the rapture takes place. So,
absolutely, Mike. Hey, thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, just a wonderful overview of the book of Revelation. So hang on, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Mike. Bob, for any of our listeners who'd like to get a copy of that, it's yours. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. All you need to do to obtain yours is go online to basicgospel.net, or you can call during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828. That's available for a gift of any amount. However, if you'd like to give a gift of $50 or more, we have Richard Piper's 8-CD series called Revelation, It's No Mystery. And that's yours for a gift of $50 or more. And again, the same information applies, basicgospel.net or by phone at 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Sacramento and talk with Tony, listening to us on KCBC. Hi, Tony.
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. I wonder if you could give me your take, I'm neither one way or the other, about house churches versus, say, a standard local community church, traditional church. You know, it could be Lutheran, Methodist, Christian, Evangelical, whatever. I know that Paul went to people's houses, and he said the house that was in so-and-so's church in this city or that city. But yet, both he and Jesus, they're typical. They would go to the temples, they go to the synagogues, and they would preach. And in our day and age, with all the parachurches and different independent groups, there seems to be a trend more away from standard evangelical community churches, because they've been losing congregations or less. And also, you were talking about how hard a pastor's job would be in that light of that. So I was wondering what your guys' understanding was about, you know, attending a regular community local church versus, say, a home church.
Well, there's a significant movement across this country of folks moving away from denominational churches into house churches. So that's taken place. You know, I think Scripture gives us several admonitions. One, don't forsake the assembling together one with another. We see that in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. So I think it's important for believers to gather together. That's the first thing that we see in the New Testament. We were saved individually, but in that salvation we were added to the body of Christ. We became a member of the body of Christ. So we don't function alone. We don't function in isolation. If we're going to grow in Christ, we really need to grow together with other believers. The second thing that you'll see in the Word of God are some organizing principles that are to be used within these fellowship groups. You know, there are Bible studies. People gather together for Bible studies, and you read the Bible, and then you kind of go on. But when you gather together, you know, it talks about praying one for another, encouraging one another, reading the Word of God together. So there are some things that you want to be engaged in as far as a group is concerned. There's also leadership issues. You know, who's going to lead? Why? Because God isn't a God of confusion. That's one of the reasons that the book of Corinthians was written, or the letter to the Corinthians was written, because their services, their gatherings, was just chaos from start to finish. I mean, there was no order, and it became a confusing place. And if anybody had walked in that didn't know anything about that group, they'd immediately turn and run because they weren't being blessed or encouraged or any of those sort of things. So God is a God of order, and I think it's important for us when we assemble together to maintain that, to be people of order as well. There are different gifts within the body, and we, you know, I think as we allow those gifts to come to the surface, I think the organization will kind of take care of itself. And one will emerge as kind of a main teacher, or maybe two or three. Others will emerge that want to serve and be folks that handle some of the detail of that. And so as we kind of recognize the gifts that are contained within each body and allow those things to help organize the body, then I think our services will be a benefit to all those who participate.
Okay.
I don't know if that answered your question, but helped me a lot.
It sounded good, yeah.
Preach unto thyself, we always say, right?
That's right, that's right. Well, here's the deal, Tony. I mean, we get hung up sometimes on, you know, should we go to a Methodist church because it has the organization necessary, or can we just meet with other believers over lunch or in a home or in a small group Bible study? Well, I'll tell you this. Most people grow more in a small group setting than they do in a large church setting. And that's why churches are spending a lot of time developing small group ministries, because they recognize the value of those small groups. We need folks that we can be transparent with, that we can be honest with, that we can receive from in the spirit it's given. we need to be involved with people that we can do that to as well. And so small groups are incredibly beneficial. It gives you an opportunity to take the doctrines of the faith and connect them to everyday life. You know, you say, here's this verse, we know what it says, but what does it mean to us in our day-to-day living? How does it affect us in our marriages, in our parenting, and how we work? And so those small groups are vitally important. So if you're involved in, you know, a big denominational church or, you know, a non-denominational church, that's a great thing. But take advantage of the small groups that are there.
Okay.
Appreciate
okay, Tony.
Your time. You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed.
All right, bye-bye.
Bob, I had a question from Thomas, who writes to us from Colorado. He says, this is concerning the passage 1 Corinthians 7. What does Paul mean in 1 Corinthians 7 when he says to remain where you are when you're called? And if you are a single Christian, when you become a Christian, why does Paul recommend not to seek a wife? He says, I'm not sure what Paul is fully trying to communicate in this chapter, 1 Corinthians 7.
Well, he actually answers that question in the chapter, and he's basically saying, hey, I'm telling you this to help you avoid some trouble. Marriage is a very, very difficult thing. And so he's saying, you know, if you want to remain, you know, truly devoted to the Lord, just remain as you are. And I think that's the whole gist of that particular passage. He's not saying that marriage is a bad thing. As a matter of fact, I think he extols the virtues of marriage, and I think he, you know, follows the whole line of discussion that the Bible has about marriage, that he who finds a wife has found a good thing. It's a valuable relationship to be involved in. It reflects the nature of Jesus Christ's relationship with the church. So marriage is a wonderful thing. It's not to be entered into lightly. It should be between two believers in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean those that are lost can't get married. Sure. I'm not saying that. But the way God designed it, he designed it for believers in Christ Jesus to be united together in him. But there are problems in marriage. Mm-hmm. Two people who have gone astray, who live in a body of flesh, who have sin, it's difficult to get along.
Yeah.
And that's all Paul is saying there. So he's giving an encouragement to remain as you are and to grow where you are in Christ Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Well, I hope that's been a help to you. Friends, if you have a question you'd like to pose and can't get to the phone during the course of the broadcast when we're live, just drop us an email at basicgospel.net. And thanks for joining us today. We hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at BasicGospelRDO. And thanks to all of those of you who give to support Basic Gospel, keeping the good news coming. Your help is vital and deeply appreciated. A reminder that for a gift of any amount, you'll receive our booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. Or for your donation of $50 or more, you'll get not only the booklet, but you'll receive the 8-message CD series by Richard Piper, Revelation, It's No Mystery. That's a double advantage. Keep Basic Gospel on the air and at the same time, learning the real message of the book of Revelation. The booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, for a gift of any amount, that booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, for a donation of $50 or more. So decide on your gift. Then call 1-800-727-2828. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that phone number, 1-800-727-2828, or at our website, basicgospel.net. While you're online at basicgospel.net, be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list. If you've signed up previously, you'll continue receiving the day-by-day preview of each day's look at the Revelation. And if you've joined the study in progress or you're just now discovering it, you can catch up by going to our radio archive at basicgospel.net and then beginning to listen to the programs that originated on October 1st, the day we began this particular study. But for right now, just click subscribe in the upper menu at basicgospel.net and be ready for tomorrow's study. So until then, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davising. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.